Amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question today, and I want you to do what I often ask you to do when I ask you a question is try not to answer it right away. And the reason why I like you not to answer it right away is because many times when you answer it right away, you don't give a chance to the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to analyze what's really going on. How many of you recognize that most of us will defend ourselves quickly? Most of us, how many think that you're pretty good? How many raise your hand thinking you're pretty good? Well, you don't raise your hand because you know I'll come against that theologically. But, Jesus said, when the guy came up to him and said, good teacher, he taught him theologically. He said, no. No one's good. No man is good. There's one person is good, and that's God. But all of us are working through our stuff. So I want to, before I ask you this question, do me a favor. Just give yourself a little time to allow the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to be slow to speak. And so if you quickly tell me the answer, then many times you don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to convict you. And I'm not implying that none of you, I don't know what the answer is. All I know is the message that God has for us today. That's what I do know. And I want to deliver that message to you today. So the question is this: who are you following? Who are you following? See, all of us are following someone. Luke chapter 14, look at verses, I have up here on the screen. Look at verse 14, chapter 14, verse 38. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? See, we really need to ask ourselves, what are we committed to? Who are we following? So, Pastor, where is this coming from? Let me tell you where this is coming from. I've seen this for a long time. My sermons have started to change. How many noticed a change in my sermons? Raise your hand if you noticed a change in my sermons. And I'm sure with your hands up, you're not saying they used to be bad and now they're good. Come on, somebody. No, I know you weren't saying that. But when we came outside, there was so much, when we opened back out outside and the first sermon that I gave it up there on that roof up there. Do you remember this? And I remember there was something stirring in my heart, and it was, to be honest with you, it was this uncomfortableness that I had, and I saw, and I wasn't even sure what was going on, but I knew there was just this stirring going on, and I was really, really, my spirit was grieved with what I perceived, and I believe this is true, that there is more stirring up about racial stuff than there's ever been in our country. And I'm not saying this stirring is good. I'm saying it's bad. I'm saying that there's this stirring and people are picking sides and people are looking at the color of their skin more than they've ever looked at the color of the skin. Can I tell you what? God loves the color of your skin. Somebody shout amen. Somebody. God loves, you know what, your feet. He loves your dorky ears. You know what? He loves your hair. Even when you wake up in the morning and it's all out of whack, you ought to see my hair in the morning. Oh, my goodness. You know, one time we were at summer camp, and they had this contest, and they said, wake up and don't comb your hair. Oh, man. And whoever had the most crazy hair, I full-on whipped everybody in that contest. Amen. But God doesn't really look at the outside. He's made the outside and he likes the outside, but he's mainly looking at the inside. And there is so much stirring up junk that's taking place in our community and in our nation. And it is evil. And it needs to be seen as evil. Well, what was I doing? I was sensing all that and it was grieving my spirit. And from that point to this point, I have been preaching sermons trying to toughen you up. Because let me tell you what we are about to step into isn't for the faint of heart. The Isaac said it last week. Pastor Isaac said it last week, and I appreciate what he said. And he said it this way. He said, the middle ground is getting smaller. Well, what I know is this time, he really was talking about the time of God's patience is ending. We live right now in a dispensation of grace, but that time is going to end, and we are going to read your Bible. If you don't get mad at me for preaching good theology. Don't get mad at me because your theology is bad. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. No, is God a God of grace? Absolutely. Is God a God of love? Absolutely. Is God a God of judgment? Absolutely. One of the good reasons it is, you're just like, Pastor, why do we have to read? You have to read a chapter in the New Testament every day. You know what? Yeah, if you do that, you'll get through the whole New Testament in one year. Why do we have to read Revelation? I don't even understand it. One of the good things to read Revelation is for you to get a good dose of who God is. Amen. And we've got to toughen up as a church. We've got to start to count the cost and recognize that to be a Christian, it's just going to cost you everything. That's all it's going to cost you, everything. I heard a guy the other day, I just like, why do they say that? Because almost everything he said was awesome until he got to the end and he started talking about, you know what, how difficult it is to make God your Lord. And don't say amen to this. I got to couch you. I got to train you. We're so used to saying amen to bad theology. Amen. Don't say amen to this. But he said, you know what? It's hard to make God your Lord, but it's easy to make God your... Don't say amen to this. It's easy to make God your Savior. I thought, what a crazy thought. He is your Lord and your Savior. If he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Oh, you could say amen to that. If he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do the things I asked you to do? So we've got to count the cost. We've got to look at our life. We've got to analyze and see, what are we doing? Who are we really following? Is the question today. And I want you to ask who you're following today. Then the Bible says in John chapter 6, and starting with verse 67. Yeah, that's a long chapter, huh? And Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away too? At this point, Jesus has said some, hey, do you have the pictures? Or do they have the pictures? Okay, so get ready for the pictures. At this point, up before this point, Jesus said some things that were hard, but not very many hard things. He had fed the 5,000. He had fed the 4,000. He had... They had seen all kinds of things going on. But at this point, Jesus is starting to say some things that are harder things. And when he starts to say some harder things, see, Christianity is cool when we get everlasting life. Amen? Come on. Are you all here today? Yeah. Want to live life with Jesus forever. Amen. That's good, right? But let me teach you something. It's called the Great Exchange. When we say with every head bowed and every, and we're not doing this, but we're going to do it in a while. But when I say with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus, if you want to make Jesus, you know what, the Lord of your life, if you want to be saved and go to heaven, I want you to raise up your hand. We're simply going to say a simple prayer. And if you say that prayer, we're going to believe that God's going to come into your heart and he's going to change your life forever. And it's like, yeah, I want to do that. Oh, one more thing, and it's going to cost you everything. See, the Great Exchange goes like this. You, this is deep, are you ready? You get Jesus and everything he has, including his righteousness. How many like that part? But God wants your life. See, it's an exchange. That's Christianity 101. That's real Christianity. That's the people who are on, that's the sheep. Come on, somebody. That's the sheep. The goats, and how many know there's some, when the great judgment happens, there are going to be some goats who think they're sheep. Amen? They didn't understand the Great Exchange. And they're going to say, you know what? whoa, time out. You know, let's look at this again. Because I think you messed up. How many know when you tell God you're messed up, you're wrong already? How many know that's not so smart? Hey, you messed up. Yeah, right, I messed up. No, I didn't mess up. He's going to say, depart from me, you doers. Watch this, you doers of iniquity. I don't know who you are. We need to count the costs. Isabel, show me the first picture. What? Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Vegas. No, this is Isabel. Do you have the pictures? The one with we're all smiling and on the balcony. Okay. So, wow, look at it. Isn't this a great picture? And I want you to particularly look at, notice Cody. Do you see Cody? Now, what are we doing? We went to every year we go to Dr. Note's convention. He's our overseer, and we understand overseers are really important. Somebody say everyone has somebody over them. And so we support, what's going on, and we go to this convention. Well, we usually take the intern. If it's far enough away, if it's close enough, we just jump in the van and we drive. But if it's far enough away, we rent a hotel and we get hotel rooms. Well, this year, Shayla said, We could save money and be in a nicer place. So she found us this place. You really can't see it, but we're inside. There's this balcony out there. You see how beautiful this is? It was the bomb. It was so awesome. Was it not awesome, Pastor Joel?
Come on,
Joel. Yes, thank you. It was so cool. Oh, you don't know where this is. Do you know where this is? Yeah, you know, okay, you're right. See, he was thinking. Before we got here, you know where we'd stopped? We stopped at, I don't know what it was, Target or what? Winco. Oh, better yet, Winco. We went in Winco, and here's what I told the interns and the staff. Here's what I want you to do. This is snack time. And I want you to get, any snack you want, you get. I don't care what it is. I just get some snacks and get lots of snacks. And they went out and they got lots of snacks. Amen. How many know? How many would like to be at this point an intern? Raise your hand if you want to be an intern right now. It's like, Pastor, that's cool, man. Yes. Hallelujah. And then it was so cool. Where's Cody? Cody. So, shoot, I had a picture. I had a video of this. I wish I could show them, but I just ran out of time. But in the conference, they had this. I don't know. They had different contests. Well, I forget. It was Pastor Vegas and Cody and Isabel and a bunch of other people, Gabby. And anyway, they were the most excited, most exuberant, and they got a gift certificate. And we were like, oh, that's nice. You know, and they give us this basket, and it's got some apples or, you know, it's like. But inside there was a gift certificate, $200. So, you know what? Where did we go to eat? We went to Olive Garden. We spent all $200. It was awesome. Like, now I really want it. Anyway, it was just a great, okay, now I got another picture. Can I show you this picture? Yeah, you're going to love this picture. Show the next picture after that. Okay, if you don't recognize who that is, you know who that is? That's the same guy that was hanging out on the balcony, eating spaghetti with his pastor. Where was he? He was about right where Carlos is. Actually, more like where James is. What was he doing? We dug a trench, and the trench had to be wide enough for somebody to step into. So it was very wide, which meant more work. From over here, see that white clean out right there? From all the way over there, all the way over to my office. On this side, it was about 3-4 feet. On that side, it was 6 feet deep. And why doesn't he have a shovel? Why has he got an axe? Because a pickaxe, because at some point in time when you're digging, it gets so hard down there that you need to throw the shovel away and start. You have to pick at it first for you to loosen up that dirt. How many want to be an intern now? Come on. It was so great because we were doing this side. I wish I had that video. We're doing this side, and in the middle, we had built a tunnel, and Cody came right through the tunnel. When we finally broke through, Cody said, I want to go through the tunnel. We went through the tunnel. Anyway, you have no idea. A ton of work. Look at your neighbor and say, a ton of work. See, here's what I'm saying. How many want to be an intern when we're doing snack time? I did have a point to this. I didn't just know, want to show you some pictures today. No, I have a point. Here's my point. My point is that we need to count the cost, because it's not just about snack time. It's not just about Olive Garden. Okay? And this is all included. And so Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to count the cost before, because there's something of a bad witness for you to start and then for you not to finish. Here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. In the next coming months, in the next coming years, if we were exposed to some persecution, how many are going to still be on the train? See, let me tell you where we live. We live in Comfortville. See, no, that's not your fault. That is part of the blessings of capitalism. Come on, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Your worldview has everything to do with everything. This point of no one is good is very essential that we understand. So, who is the main guy in charge? The main pilgrim. The main pilgrim. John Smith. So Jonathan Smith, they had this plan when they came over, and the plan was you know what? We got 10 people here. We're going to divide it all up. And we're not going to divide it all up. We're all going to be a commune and we're all going to work. That's right. We're all going to work. What was the problem with that? Well, how many know some people are stronger than other people? What is the problem with that? You know what the problem with that is? Your flesh. And the people who could work really hard and all day long, they got tired of watching the people who couldn't or wouldn't. And so they started to slow down and slow down and slow down and slow down. And pretty soon, all the workers weren't working no more. And the ones who could work weren't working because they couldn't work or they wouldn't work. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And so the plan sucked. It was a bad plan. And so there was a lot of and they had the winter problem anyway, but you know, when the elements are when my dad used to teach me, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And so they had the elements against them. Well, he rethought it and said, "We can't do this. You know, it has to do with your worldview. And if you have a Christian worldview, you understand." Are you learning something? And so what happened was, is he said, "We're not going to do this anymore. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to divide it up. And this family will have this piece, and that family will have that piece, and this family will have this piece, and that family will have this piece. And you're going to sink or swim as a family." That was the start of capitalism. Capitalism has caused this country to be the most prosperous country in the world. Amen. That's the truth. And we really need to thank God for his principles in the word that has caused that to happen. Amen. I know you don't hear this often. It's one of the reasons I'm teaching it to you. Because you don't hear it anywhere. And you don't even understand as Christians what our heritage is, what our biblical understanding is. God won't be mocked. Whatever man sows, he shall reap. That's how God is. You think everybody in heaven, you think everybody in heaven is going to be the same? You're crazy. You need to read your Bible. We're going to look at Paul. Paul's going to walk by and we're going to go, "Whoa." Why? Look and see what he did. His whole life was committed. You know what he said? Paul said this, and I believe him. He said, "If I could give my life in order, if I could go to hell in order that all the Jews would go to heaven, I'd do it." Let me tell you what. Don't you think for a minute that Paul's not going to have a different place in positioning. Because God doesn't cease to be a reaping and sowing God when we get to heaven. Now, Pastor, listen, we're all going to be happy in heaven. Amen. Come on. We're all going to be happy in heaven. But don't think that it's going to be, you know what, something that everyone is just, that's not even biblical. And the reason why we live in the prosperous country economically, along with a lot of other situations, is because of a biblical worldview that leaders, I'm not saying we live in a perfect nation. Oh my goodness. You know what? We have done so many things that are wrong. But it has predominantly been the Christians that have stood up to the evil of the wrong to correct those things. Amen. Amen. So we are in a position where we live in Comfortsville. I mean, where are we going to eat for lunch? You know what I mean? We need, are we gonna eat, you know, some greasy food? Are we gonna go to Tommy's? Are we gonna eat some, you know, are we gonna go to Chipotle and eat some healthy food? You know, that's what do we do? Well, let's go to Tommy's for lunch and let's go to Chipotle for dinner. Right? Why? Because we're blessed. You pastor, and listen, if I'm wrong, then praise God. I will love to go back to, you know what, we're inside, we have two services. You know what? Well, I mean, this place, you think this place is good now. Wait till it is our fellowship hall. I'm telling you what, the dreams that God has for this church are just, man, God is for us. But here's my question. What if there's some persecution coming up in the next 3 years? What if they start requiring you to do certain things, and if you don't, you're going to lose your job? I'm just saying, I mean, part of our problem is we don't know history. Look at Germany. What do you think? How do you think it happened? You think this got... No. It happened how demonic things happen a little bit at a time. That's how it happened. You know, it started... Well, actually, at some progression, they just said that they weren't hauling the Jews to persecution camps. They weren't gassing them out with the showers, killing them, telling them we're going to take a shower, and then just burning them to death through chemicals. How gross! You think that was happening? Not at the start. At the start, all they had to do is just wear a star identifying them as Jews. Pastor, you're freaking me out. Listen, I know. And I could argue with God and say, God, I don't want to preach a sermon like this. I want to talk about a lot of other things where we can shout and say, Hallelujah. But that's not my assignment today. And that hasn't been my assignment for a while. Now, we've been doing some good shouting, and we'll have time. I'll show you where we can shout in this, because this is actually a great message. You know, you got to figure out, though, where you want to go. The reason why this is a great message is because if you'll make a decision today that you're going to do whatever it takes to serve God, then you're going to be on a narrow road. Amen. But notice where our road goes to. Our road goes to eternity. Our road goes towards God. Our road goes, you know what? I mean, who wants to do this? Yay! We're with everybody. Where are you going? I'm going to destruction. Who wants to go there? Amen. That's what the Bible says. Wide is the road. So figure it out, Christians. Toughen yourself up, Christians. Start to read the Bible every day, Christians. Start to develop your faith. Start to pray every day. As I was reading, we were reading this week, and last week, I was so inspired. How did I get inspired? Because I see, and not that I didn't pray much for you in the past, but I'm reading about Paul, and Paul says, every time I think about you, I pray for you. I was like, whoa, that what's he doing? He's inspiring me to be the better person than I can be. And then he says, I pray for you all the time. Amen. I prayed with you. I prayed over you more in the last 10 days. Why? Because that passage inspired me. I thought, you know what? I ain't praying enough for you guys. Now, every time I think of you, every time, any of you, anytime I think of you, I think about, you know what? I'm thinking about Edgar. Oh, man. Oh, Father, thank you for Edgar. Thank you for Rebecca. Thank you for their family. Thank you for their kids. Anytime I think of you, I stop and I pray for you. Why? Because I got inspired by the Word of God. We have got to develop what God has for us. You, I've been telling you guys this for a long time. You guys are mighty, mighty, mighty Christians. You are mighty leaders. You have so much that God has called you to do. Yeah, but Pastor, I've only been saved for 6 months. I don't care if you've been saved for 6 months. It doesn't make any difference. You have how fast you can grow if you'd spend time in the Word every day. And all we have to do is just count the cost and recognize, God, what are you doing? Am I ready for what's going to come? And, you know, am I just a Christian because it's convenient for me? Because what I see in the Word of God is I see that God says, will you be willing to lay down your life for me? Will you be willing to? And it would be one thing if it's like, you know what? Oh, you know what? They're gonna kill. You know what? Yeah, they're aiming at George, and I'm gonna jump. Here I go. Whoa! I'm gonna take the bullet for him. Right? That would be one thing. But I don't necessarily see that. I don't necessarily see in the next coming years that there are going to be guillotines that we're going to have to, they're going to say either, you know what, declare that Christ isn't your Lord and be saved or take the guillotine. I don't see it that way. I see it much more gradual. And gradual is dangerous because gradual you can be fooled. Gradual is subtle. So we make exceptions. We think, well, it's not too bad. It's okay. After all, my, you know what, if I lose my job, what are my kids going to eat? You know what, what's going to happen? Blah, 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 yada, bada, bada. Listen to me. This jobs thing is a big deal because that's where I see it coming first. There are people that right now have lost their jobs, been fired because they had a political view. Here. You know what? You're going to be fired because you have a political opinion? What about America where there's free speech? What happened to that? What one politician said is he said to the Christians, he said, and if you think that they're not coming for you, you are the main people they're coming for. Go over to Europe. I've been over to Europe. It was weird. I got off the plane, and I was just a young kid, but I was still spiritually enough in tune. I got off the plane and was like, what is the matter with this place? I went to these churches. Oh my goodness. You know what? If they would give us, can you imagine Hope Community Church? You know what? That you know, they give us this cathedral. I mean, I'm telling you what, these places are amazing. Exactly. But nobody goes to them. They are the only people who go to them are the people who are looking for the architecture. They are dead. They are empty. The whole country is empty. There's all these kids. I was maybe 17, and I went to Germany. I went to West Germany when Germany was two, and I went to West Germany, and so we went to these churches, these cathedrals. And they were all dead. No, none of the kids, all of them were secular. Nobody was talking about Jesus. Nobody read their Bible. I'm sure somebody read their Bible, you know what I mean? But none of the people I was around read their Bible. in the evening time would get on these mopeds and would go to the pub. I'm not a drinker. I don't drink. I advise not drinking. No, I didn't say I advise not getting drunk. I advise not drinking. Yeah, but you can, you know, but Pastor, you're being, no, I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm just telling you what is in my heart. I've seen too many people who, you know what, I never met someone who had gone through a divorce, destroyed their life, stopped working, get fired, all the things that happen with alcoholism, and they said, you know what, I just wanted to be an alcoholic, man, that's just where I went to. It's just, that's just my conviction. But, so we'd all go to the pub. I wouldn't drink, but they'd all drink. They'd talk about all kinds of stuff, but never about God. That was in West Germany. And then we were this part of this group. And somehow we got into East Germany. I mean, you talk about spiritually dead, and you can feel it. You can feel it in West Germany. As soon as I got off the plane, I was like, what is going on here? See, we are in such a flow of blessings from God, we don't even recognize it. And I'm telling you, church, we've got to toughen up and be strong and be mighty and be powerful and understand the calling in our life, because the choices are going to be subtle. And when they come, you've got to make up your mind before. You got to make up your mind right now what you're going to do. Oh, my goodness. Boom, boom, boom. Stay with me. Number one, reality. In God's kingdom, you are either all in or you're all out. I'm just saying, read your Bible. I'm not saying that there's not a time of development. I'm not saying that God treats a two-year-old. You know what? When I was growing up, my older sister, well, not that's a bad illustration. Because my older sisters got away with way more than I did. When I was raising kids, you know what? Shayla got treated different than Tyler, and Tyler got treated different than Megan. Why? Because they were different ages. But they all needed to behave. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So God treats us differently in that He's got grace for our development. Having said that, you can't fool God. Either you're all in or you're not. Amen. And this thought is, I'm all in as soon as it's easy. You know, let me just talk to couples for a minute. Or people who plan on being married at some point in time. See, if you're single. I got two right here. Okay, yeah, right. Well, you listen to me. Because you've got to understand, in the course of time, and I'm speaking to married people too, in the course of time, your spouse is going to take you off like you cannot believe. And it's that point in time that God says, don't let the sun set on your anger. And if you're not going to listen to that, if you're not going to listen to God, then you know what? I mean, get ready for the divorce, because it's coming. Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Why? I'm speaking life to someone. You know, you just want treaty time. You don't want diggy time. You just want snacky time. No, it's the same time. Amen. Amen. Number two, the middle ground is a lie from the enemy. The middle ground is a lie from the enemy. There's no middle ground. Either you're for me or you're against me. That's what the Bible says. Now, you can deceive yourself. What is the worst deception? It's self-deception, because you don't even know you're in it. That's why, well, how do I fix that? You read the Bible every day. It's able to rightly divide the word of truth. It's able to cut that junk out of your heart. It's able to say, you know what, of course. I remember, you know what, I'm in a fight with my wife, She's being ridiculous. What's ridiculous in Spanish? What? Ridiculoso? What? No, I'm not coming over there. What?
Ridículo.
That's good. I would like all to know all the Spanish words that are really close to English. Ridículo. 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 Oh, mucho ridícula. She's being ridiculous. And I'm like, I just got to get away from her because she is, you know what, just, I get away, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit needs to know what's going on about her. And God says, I don't want to talk about her. I want to talk about you. Here's what I'm saying. The middle ground is a lie from the pit of hell. And you need to recognize it is. First Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Are you guys learning anything? How many sense the power of the Holy Spirit in this place right now? 1 Kings 18:21, then Elijah approached all the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him. Now, of that, I saved the worst for last. Here's what freaked me out, and here's why I picked this verse. Listen to this. But the people did not answer a word. See, I'm just, all eyes up here. I'm just going to just be in the middle ground. Listen to me very carefully. You can decide not to decide. This is deep. But when you decide not to decide, you've already decided. That sounds like Maxwell Smart, huh? But that is the truth. No, a decision not to decide is not to not make a decision. You've decided. You've just pretended like you're cool, but you're not cool. And these people are just silent. Remember when so there's the guy with the withered hand, and Jesus knows what's up. He knows they're gonna try to bust him on this legalistic, not heal the guy. And he read it. It's so awesome, interesting. He looks at them and says, "What should I do?" And they said nothing. And then right after that, it says that Jesus is, I don't know the exact terminology, but he is just disgusted. Why is he disgusted? He's disgusted because, read it, because they won't stand up and say, well, of course, heal him, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So you think you're going to do the right, we've got to count the cost now. If your business, if your work, if something was going on and you need to make a stand, are you willing economically to say, job smob, God going to take care of me? Are you going to do that? Because let me tell you what, if you can't do that, you're not going to take the guillotine. It just ain't going to happen. You know, it's like, oh, you know what? I can't get up and exercise. I can't run around the block three times. But, you know, what's 38 miles. What is that? I could run a marathon, dude. I could run a marathon. Well, could you get up and do 8 push-ups? You know what I mean? Could you do that? My dad. Can I tell you a funny story about my dad? Oh, I love my dad. My dad saw, this is way back in the day, you guys don't even know this movie. What, you want to see a good movie? See that? Watch this movie. Chariots of Fire. Like, oh, I don't even know. Watch the movie. Just go, trust me, Google it, watch it, you'll be so blessed. My dad watched Chariots of Fire. That next morning, Monday morning, watch it on a Sunday, Monday morning, You know what? He got it. And he was like, he's got funky tennis shoes. You know, his tennis shoes are 8 years old. You know what? And he gets, you know, his tennis shoes, and he runs from North Whittier by Rio Hondo College. That's kind of where we live. We live in La Puente. He runs from La Puente to Pico Rivera. No, not woo. Awful idea. Then he spent the next 3 months recovering from. Yeah, hey, do you remember that? You remember the recovery, huh? Yeah, of course. Number three, and I won't be long. Pay attention. I have pay attention in all caps. Pay attention. You are not only following someone, but someone is following you. Second Kings chapter 14, verse 41. So these nations worshiped the Lord, but also served their idols. And to that day, their children and grandchildren continued to do as their fathers did. See, you think you're going to have one foot in, one foot out, and you think you're going to make compromise, and it's going to cost you economically, but you're going to justify that economic compromise. And you think it's going to be okay. You have no idea what you're doing to your kids. Your kids would be better, like me. You know what? I mean, I told you this before. When my mom would make our sandwiches for school, I wouldn't get a ham and cheese sandwich. I would get a cheese sandwich. She would make two pieces of bread, mustard and mayonnaise, and cheese. I mean, dude, you better have the milk ready because that thing is dry sandwich, man. And I don't have time to go over you all the economic, all the, it's like, I mean, really, really, really. You know, Tamara, this is the truth. When we go on vacation, this happened this last time. I don't know what it is. I want to have food. I want to have a lot of food. I want to just get a big thing of peanut butter and a big thing. I just want to have food. You know why I just want to have food? Do you know why, Tamara? Because I want to make sure there's enough food to eat. I remember so many times. Oh, I remember so many times going to bed hungry. Not because my parents didn't feed me, but because I didn't want to eat the pea and the pearl onions. I didn't. I just wanted to take the pot pie. No, not the Marie Callender's pot pie. No. The banquet, you know, 13-cent one, and throw it at the dog. Really, I'm telling you the truth. So you're not only following somebody, but whoever you're following, you better watch it. Because whoever you're following, your kids are following. It's true. No, I believe that we have to toughen up. I believe to do that we have to lay everything before the Lord. We have to cry out to God and we have to say, God, listen, our life is like this, so short. Here's the good news. I could show it to you, but I don't have time. But I'll just tell it to you. The Bible says that if our light shines, you know what? That God will draw all these people. That as we are not just talking about our Christianity, but we're doing our Christianity, here's what happens. Other people see the light. And I believe in our country, there's going to be all kinds of darkness. And those people that are in darkness, they're going to see the light. They're going to see those. But the only ones they're going to see, they're not going to see those who are compromised because they're in darkness. they're going to see those people who are willing to stand up. And don't, you say, but Pastor, what about my life? God will take care of you. Read your Bible.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Father, I pray today, may you be preparing us for what we need to do. I pray that we would toughen up. I pray that we would analyze who we're really following. And if we're not following Jesus Christ in any area in our life, may we repent. May we move 180, whatever you're asking us to do. Forgive, walk in love, be generous, whatever it is, God, I pray that that's what we would do. Now, before we dismiss, well, we're going to do two things before we leave. How many know it's important for us to make a commitment to Christ, not just to hear the word, but to respond to the word? So if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, maybe you're watching on the internet, we're going to say a simple prayer. We talked about it earlier. We're just going to ask God, Jesus, come in your heart. We believe that it'll change it from the inside out. We believe that it's God knocking right now. But he won't force himself in. You've got to ask Jesus, come in. You've got to respond to him. If that's you, let's pray together right now. Just repeat this after me. Jesus, come in my life. I need you so much. I'm sorry for all the times I've rejected you. But I'm not rejecting you anymore. Change me from the inside out. I want to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.